Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Coffee and Devotions. This is where every day you and I, we get together, we have a little bit of coffee, we get into God's Word, and we grow in our love for the Lord together. In this year, 2022, Lord willing, we'll make it from the book of Acts to the book of Philemon. We're at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 11, and we'll go all the way through verse chapter 7, verse 12. It's all connecting. Don't worry. Let's have some coffee. We'll pray and we'll work through God's word together. Let's pray. And Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, and we thank you that you care for us, that you teach us, and that you love us. Father, we pray that you would work in our hearts this morning, that we might read, understand, and know your word, that we might follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of you asked me the other day, you said, did you ever find your glasses? And I went up to the pulpit the other day, and I was like, oh, what's that in my suit coat pocket? And I found my glasses. They were hiding in one of my suit coat pockets. So I was surprised. I normally don't put them there. All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts, to die together and to live together. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulations. For indeed, we came to Macedonia. Our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a little while. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to regret, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong, nor for the sake of him who suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. Well, we need to ask ourselves, A, what is this about? B, what's the best verse to summarize this? And C, what are we called to do in response to this? So what is this about? Remember, Paul has talked about his ministry to them in verses 1 through 10. He had talked to them about pleading with them that the day of salvation was near and that they needed to come to Jesus Christ. And now he's reminding them that they're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. They're not to be tied together with people who are not of the faith, right? But to come out from amongst those who are in the darkness. And he uses a hodgepodge, a mishmash, of putting together of a whole bunch of different passages here. I mean, he quotes Leviticus 26:12, Jeremiah 38:28, Ezekiel 37:27, Isaiah 52:11, Ezekiel 20:30 and 40, 34 and 41, and 2 Samuel 7:14. I mean, he's taking all these passages to drive home this one point that they are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, that they are to be in the world but not of the world. They are to be holy, and they're to be joined with people who are followers of Christ. And so he says, therefore, this is the implication, the conclusion, the summary of this point, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, right? The desire is for holiness. That is Pastor Paul's heart for them. He wants them to be holy as their Father is holy. He wants them to abide in Christ and to bear much fruit in repentance and holiness. That's why he said, I opened my heart to you, right? We widened our hearts to you. So don't close them off to us, right? Don't go chasing affections and going towards the world, but we preach to you the gospel. We brought to you Jesus Christ, so don't harden your hearts to us now. Right? Don't shut yourselves off now, but keep striving for holiness. And so he says in verse 2, open your hearts to us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have cheated no one. He says, you know my ministry to you. I wasn't about peddling the gospel. I wasn't about cheating you out. I wasn't about trying to hurt you. And I haven't been about any of that even today. See how this is a personal defense of his ministry. And he tells them, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. Right? Paul didn't take a cent from them. But every day was teaching them. Every day was caring for them. Every day was loving them. So he says, I would die for you and I would live for you. I worked my tail off making tents. I lived in front of you. I lived with you and I would have died for you. You remember what it was like in Macedonia, right? We were persecuted everywhere. Now, I want to point this out, right? This is one of these few times that we actually get a window into the soul of an apostle, into how they were feeling and thinking about things. Look with me at this, right? I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation, for indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fear. We often think of Paul and we think of him as, you know, this giant, this titan of the faith, going out without any fear, bold as a lion. And then we find out that all around him there's tribulations and trials. Fear is inside of him. Isn't that interesting? Even the apostle was afraid. Feared for his life. Feared for others. Fear was inside him. But God didn't leave him there. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, verse 6, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And he comforted them with the word that the people in Corinth still love Paul. So he goes from there and he talks to them in that last paragraph, verses 8 through 12, about the letter he wrote to them. I'm convinced that this is 1 Corinthians, this hard letter that he had to write to them. And this is, again, talking about the apostle's heart, Pastor Paul's heart towards the people there. He wrote to them a hard letter, and he doesn't regret having written that letter, but he did regret it at the time, right? He didn't want to write that type of letter. If you ever talk to an elder or a pastor and they were like, oh yeah, I really wanted to exercise church discipline, that's probably not an elder that you might want to be sitting under, right? Church discipline is something done in love, with slowness, with prayerfulness, with a heart towards the people. And he says, now, I don't regret sending the letter now, but I regret that I had to send it. But I'm thankful. Right? Paul finds out that the people in Corinth listened. He was showing them love, desiring them to repent of these sins that he was pointing out amongst them. And even though now they were questioning, right, this could be a side effect. Sometimes the messenger gets the bad rap, but at least they repented. They've turned. And this is a huge encouragement to Paul. He says, verse 9, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, right? He's not trying to hurt them, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Right? He's thankful to the Lord. Because even though it made them sorrow, you know, it was a godly sorrow. Not the type of sorrow that doesn't have any hope, doesn't have, right? It's not like this feudalism. It's not just as dead, you know, just going to make you sorry because I want to hurt you. But it's to see what's wrong. Right? Sometimes it's good for the Holy Spirit to afflict our souls, that we might see our sin and repent and turn to life. But what's the best verse to summarize all this? I get a whole bunch underlined. You're going to have to help me out here. Right, I'd underline verse 13, I'd underline verse 14, I'd underline verse 1, I'd underline verse 8, I have verse 9 double underlined, I have verse 10 underlined, I don't know, I just start underlining stuff that I think is really, like, catching, but maybe you would be able to help me out here. If you had to just underline one or two verses, what would you underline in your Bible? Well, last, see, calling. What are we called to do in our lives? How does this point us to Christ? How does this apply to us? Do you have affections? Do you desire the things of God? This is really tough, right? Because we're in the world. Yet God tells us to come out of it. He tells us to be in the world, but not of the world. What do you think about? What's your prayer life like? How do you interact with people around you? This is a really tough thing. Because you go to work, right? You leave your home, and you're around your friends, you're around your coworkers, you're around your unbelieving family. Sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, just afraid. We're afraid of what it looks like to be a social outcast. We're afraid of what it might look like to put the world to the side. We're afraid of the social, financial, real life implication of telling the world, no, I can't be like that. I can't go there. I can't do those things. I can't laugh at those jokes. I can't watch those movies. I gotta love God. My affections have to be for the Lord. You go to him, you follow him, and when you're confronted with sin, you question your heart, right? When people, this is tough for me, right? I really enjoy it when people in the church point out sins in my life. Every night before we go to bed, I ask Olivia, how did I hurt your feelings today? And I have to deal with how I didn't love her and the children well, right? This is a tough thing, but it's the Holy Spirit provoking your heart toward holiness. Are you afflicted to sorrow but that you might turn from sin and turn unto Christ. You desire holiness. Now let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so much that you don't hide hard things from us, but you tell us what it means to follow you as a disciple. Lord, we pray that we might not close off our hearts toward you or towards the elders or other brothers and sisters who might tell us hard things that would make us sorrowful, but that your Holy Spirit would provoke us to holiness, to righteousness, to be more and more like Christ. Father, please work in us, your people. Make us more like you. Please teach us what it means to be in the world, but not of the world. Please, Lord, let our affections be for Jesus Christ and to walk in his ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may the Holy Spirit be working in you toward holiness and through you in loving God and others. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon RP Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.